Next week, Pastor Chet's going to be back, and he's going to be talking about can you relate, which I think we have a slide for that. Did they show that before? Okay, can you relate? Now, what's left between that series, between our last series, Let's Talk About Sex. How many of you guys were here for that series? Through the Song of Solomon. That was awesome. That was so good. And the series that he's going to be launching into next week, Can You Relate? The Lord put on my heart to kind of recalibrate the vision. So what's Lyft about? Lyft. We came up with that name. I've been with Pastor Chet since we started Lyft, learned a lot from him. But it came out of John 12:32, which says, Jesus said, when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. And so that's what we do here at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. Through the teaching of God's word, through the preaching of the gospel, we lift Jesus up. And some of you may know me as Pastor Jay, because when Pastor Chet preaches those gospel, you guys come into the back and we pray with you and lead you to the Lord in that prayer, get you plugged into the new believer study. And so you go, our springboard verse that we share with all you guys is John 1:12. This is your new identity, which says, but as many as received him, speaking about Jesus, to them, he gave the right to become the children of God. Guys, that's so important that we receive that we saturate in that. Pastor Chet's going to be talking about relationships, biblical, how to honor God in our relationships, his brothers, sisters, parents, children. But this relationship right here, as the children of God, that's that first love relationship that's so important. When you came to Christ, you didn't join a club, you didn't come to a country club, you didn't join a gym, you became a child of God. And for someone that comes from a broken home like myself, that's a big deal. That's a big deal, because when we first come to the Lord, our view of God is basically how our parents treated us, how our dad treated us. And so if he was distant, if he didn't spend time with you, if he wasn't intentional towards you, that's how we're going to think that God is towards us. But 1 John 4:19 says that we now, in that first love relationship, we love him because he first loved us. And so we can come, we can worship, we can connect with him with full assurance, knowing how much he really truly loves us. Now, God wants you to gain vision for your life. So in Proverbs 29, it says, without vision, the people perish. Without vision, the people cast off restraint. Do you guys have vision for your life? Do you know what God wants you to do? Is he pouring out vision? Are you getting dreams? Is he giving you signs and wonders? Do you know that calling that he's got on your life? So spending time with him is so key. And we can now, like James 4:8 says, we can draw near to God. Full assurance, we can draw near to God. There's no more separation. We're close to God. You guys know what his ultimate plans are for you. Like Jeremiah 29:11 says that, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. There are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Now, if you've been in the family of God for any time, you know you've heard that verse over and over and over again, but is it really like saturated in your heart? Are you abiding in that? Are you receiving that? That's God's vision for your life. And, you know, I love what Pastor Greg, you know, said at the Harvest Crusade recently. He said, a lot of the times in the church, we come to church and we hear these Bible teachings about do this. God wants you to do this and God wants you to do that. And it's do this, do, 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 do. And sometimes if you're coming in, all you're hearing when you come to receive the word is do, 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 that it could sometimes just be do, do, right? Right? But God, he looks at you. If you've come to Christ, how many of you guys have prayed to receive Christ? And when the gospel's preached, you've come forward and received him. Yeah, there we go. Good, good, good. So do you know what that means to be in Christ? That Matthew 17:5, that he sees you and he says, behold my son, behold my daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Do we like receive that? God is well pleased with us. Do we? You guys digging that? God's well pleased with you. We can come to church with hope and encouragement, stoked, drawing near to him, worshiping him, because he sees you as being well pleased. Now, what God really put on my heart tonight is what David understood, that in your relationship with God, that. He's going to father you. He's going to disciple you. He's going to walk with you. Why was it that out of thousands of Israelites in Israel, as Goliath stood before David and he's yelling at the people and all the soldiers, nobody would stand before Goliath and go out and fight Goliath? I think David, out of all of them, was the only one who understood that God was fathering him. He wasn't afraid to stand before Goliath. He knew his destiny. He knew that God was going to be there for him, right? And he said, this is just an uncircumcised Philistine. I'm just going to take him out like the lion and the bear. But God doesn't disciple us the way that what we think we should be discipled, right? Because how did God prepare David for Goliath? He sent him the lion and the bear, right? He was probably at the age of 12 when God did that. How many of you have kids? I've got two kids. I've got 2.5 kids. I got one on the way too. My wife's pregnant, you know, and we're excited and stoked for that. Thank you. Thank you. But at the age of 12, I probably wouldn't throw my kids in a room and close the door and throw a lion and a bear in there, right? And so sometimes we go through these challenges and these struggles in life and we're like, oh my goodness, Lord, seriously? Jeremiah 29:11 says you've got good plans for me. So why is my life so hard? Life is hard, but God is good. It's Romans 8:15. As the adopted children of God, you now, we didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, I need you. He didn't have any fear. He understood God's heart for him. So this vision that God has for you guys, discipleship, he wants us to hit the bullseye of life. In Psalm 127, it says that children, they're a blessing from the Lord, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. So think about that, guys. As God is shaping and molding your life, like Jeremiah says that he's the potter and we're the clay, he's shaping and molding. Do you know that think about an arrow and an archer, right? It takes time to direct the arrow, to focus it on the target in which it's intended to hit. What is that for you guys? What's the vision God has for your life? But it takes time. We got to spend time with them, right? I was teaching as a weapons specialist in law enforcement in our house, like passing that bullet around. You guys are, where is that at right now? Somebody has that? It's still going? Okay, and the pencil on this side, carpenter's pencil. Is that still moving on this side? Carpenter's pencil. It did die somewhere? Oh, it's way in the back. So that's made it a lot further than the bullet. So people are more interested in the bullet than they are with the carpenter's pencil, I guess. But we're into guns in our family, and my son Gabriel is 10, my son Joshua is 8, and I was teaching them how to shoot. We were up at a family camp one day and teaching them how to shoot a BB gun. And, you know, when you're a kid, you get frustrated. You don't have patience. You're like, I don't understand. And so I was holding up the BB gun and I was lining up the front sight with the rear sight, and they're like, Dad, I don't understand. So they're short, they're little guys. So I get down on one knee, I have them come over to me, and how many of you guys have shot a BB gun before? Many hands, hundreds of people in here. You gotta put your cheek up against the butt of the rifle, right? And so I've got my cheek up against the butt of the rifle. And my son's, I can't see what you're talking about, Dad. I said, well, come here. And I grab their head and I pull it in close to my cheek. And now we're cheek to cheek. And now they can see the sights lined up of what I'm looking at, right? And so that's what God does with us. But we got to spend time with him. So this worship experience, Lift, is amazing and awesome and it's exciting. And we hear from God and we came here to connect and hear God's word. But he wants that FaceTime with us. How many of you guys use FaceTime? Yes, everybody uses FaceTime, right? And so on FaceTime, when you look at FaceTime, you see the other person's face, but you see your face too, right? So when we spend time with God, it's like that face, I call it FaceTime with God, like I do with my sons when I'm teaching them something. I come down to their level, I go cheek to cheek with them so they can see my vision of what I'm looking at. Just like the Father wants you to see the vision of what he's looking at for your life. When we spend FaceTime with God and we get into the Word of God, not only do we get to see, like on FaceTime, you get to see the other person, you get to see who God is, But you actually get a reflection and you get to find out who you truly are, because you have a new identity in Christ too. This is your daddy's house. As a Christian, as a believer, as a child of God, you don't have to look for your identity anywhere else any longer. You find it in the family of God. Out here, sitting out here right now, we've got prophets, we've got evangelists, we've got apostles, we've got pastors, we've got teachers. You guys are something in the body of Christ. And one of the brothers in the back in our prayer time before we came out here shared a word that there's people here that need healing. That there's people here that need a word of prophecy. And that's what God wants to do with us tonight. And he's gonna use you guys to do it. And that was Jesus's ministry. His ministry was preaching, teaching, healing, and alone time with the Father. And so that's what I'm talking about here. What's the vision? It's not our vision for our life. It's God's vision for our life, because he wants you to hit the bullseye. He wants you to be successful in life. And the bullseye eventually is heaven. It is. But he wants to bring the kingdom of God through you in your life, so you're walking in power and you're producing fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit in your life. So he's gonna spend time with you. He's gonna direct you. He's gonna focus that arrow where it needs to be, living towards the target. And that takes intention. I'm blessed to be a dad. I'm blessed to be a husband. And at the end of the day, I have to ask myself, Lord, have I been intentional in fathering my kids today? Have I been intentional? That's the number one question I ask when I get home with my kids. But then I start relating, have I been intentional and missional in my relationships at work? Am I being intentional and missional in my relationships with my brother, with my sister, with my dad, my mom? Are these relationships honoring you? And that's really what Pastor Chet's going to be working on in the series, Can You Relate?, is being missional in these relationships that God has set for us. So just like you're blessed when you have kids and you're focusing those targets and you want to bless them and get them to that bullseye, God's doing that with us too. He's doing it with you guys. And we do that, we find that out by spending face time with God. So he's intentional in his fathering towards us. What are his intentions towards us? Take a look. Psalm 56:8 says, he saves our tears in his bottle. That's pretty considerate, right? How many of you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Raise your hand. Okay, so if your boyfriend or girlfriend saved your tears, you'd be kind of freaking out thinking like, this guy's psycho, like saving my tears in a bottle? What's going on here? Well, why does God save our tears in a bottle? Like, nobody is that considerate. It seems freaky on these human relationships, but he saves our tears in a bottle because he's not going to waste one of them. And sometimes I doubt this. You guys ever doubt? You ever doubt God's love for you? I do. Thomas did, right? And you know that the first thing that Jesus said to Thomas? Thomas is like, I can imagine this. Thomas is that guy who was abandoned as a kid, who he's always been let down. He's always in the front of the class asking questions. You're like, oh my gosh, this guy Thomas again, asking more questions. Shut up. But he's really asking all the questions that we're wondering too, right? And so he's like, I don't believe it. I'm not gonna believe it until I see it, put my hand in his fingers and feel him, touch him. And the first thing that Jesus says to him is, Thomas, peace be unto you. What do you need to believe? I'll give you whatever you need to believe. He said, the smoking flax, I will not quench. The bruised reed, I will not break. Sometimes, like the do-do-do-do-do, sometimes we as pastors have a tendency to put a heavy yoke on the people. And Jesus is telling us, don't smote the rock, Moses. No, draw near to God. Because he's drawing near to you. He's intentional towards us, guys. He's your daddy. He's madly in love with you to save your tears in a bottle. Check out Matthew 10:30. He numbers the hairs on our head. He knows you intimately. He's madly in love with you. He knows you intimately. Psalm 139 says that his thoughts, they're innumerable and precious towards us. He thinks of us. One time, driving on the freeway, my wife was pregnant with our first our second son, Joshua, and it was one of those borderline pregnancies where we thought we were gonna lose him. She took the home pregnancy test, went into the doctor's, it was positive at home, it was not so positive, we went into the doctor's office, and the sac had formed, but the yolk hadn't formed yet. And so the next day, I'm on the phone with my wife, I'm working in the fire service, driving down the freeway, and I just realized that the Lord wants to hear my wife cry out to him like a daughter to a father, not a Christian to God or a, you know, believer to God, but just a daughter and a father. He just wanted her to relate with him in an intimate way. And so I said, babe, you just need to cry out to God and tell him whatever you feel. Click, I hang up on her. Sometimes I have to kind of just push her to God. Talk to him, tell him what, and she was almost afraid to tell him, Lord, I don't want, you know, a deformed baby. I want a healthy baby. Of course, right? We would all think that. And so I hang up the phone and I'm driving down the freeway and I look in front of me and there's a license plate. It says Psalm 139. I'm like, oh, great. Now I'm one of those crazy Christians reading license plates and thinking, you know, the clouds say everything. I'm like, oh, no. I get off the freeway. I go to the Starbucks and her uncle's there reading his Bible. And I'm like, oh, great. Let me see. Come here. What are you doing here? He's like, this is Starbucks I always go to. I said, let me see your Bible. I go to Psalm 139. I'm reading through Psalm 139. And it's like verse 14, it says, I saw your substance yet being unformed, and all of your days were written before you ever lived one of them. And my thoughts, they're precious towards you. If you were to number them, they'd be innumerable, more than the sands of the seashore. And now I'm just blown away. I'm like, oh my goodness, God spoke to me. And back then, it was like a big thing. I was like, you know, just blown away. God spoke to me in such a powerful way. We get home that night, we're laying in bed, and I'm tripping out on like, Lord, you're like, really? Like, your thoughts are precious? Seriously? Like, what about that I did wrong? And he's like, look, you're in Christ. Do you know that? That you're in Christ? That when God sees you, he sees Christ? That's called positional righteousness. That's, you're the adopted sons of God. Your past, present, future sins, they're all paid for. You're justified, just as if you've never sinned. You've been saved by grace through faith. You're going to be sanctified by grace through faith. And you're going to go into glory one day by grace through faith. I'm tripping out, but this is becoming real to me. So I take, okay, Lord, how many times in a day is precious, more than the sands of the seashore? How many times in a day is that, Lord? Well, there's 24 hours in a day, right? There's 60 minutes in an hour. There's 60 seconds in a minute. There's tenths of a second and hundredths of a second. And if you got a calculator and you're doing it right there, it comes out to God loves you no less than and is thinking of you every day no less than 86,400,000 times a day. And they're precious. My thoughts are precious towards you. This was mind-blowing, guys. Does that blow your mind? For a guy that was coming from a broken home, that had two DUIs, struggled with a drug addiction, at one point was facing 10 years in prison, for God to pour out his love like that? Radical, mind-blowing, radical. He thinks of you constantly, guys. He's intentional in his fathering towards you. Can you relate in a relationship with God? It takes time to understand that. And Jesus said in John 14:3, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. He's preparing, guys. He's thinking about you. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans, the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. So what's the point, Jay? What are you talking about? What's all this telling me God loves me and all these things? Well, yeah, he saved you. But he didn't just save you to be a child of God. He saved you. In Revelation 1:6, one of the brothers in the back just shared a verse that we're a royal priesthood, a holy generation. Did you know that you're a king and a priest? Revelation 1:6 says, to him who loved us, he's washed us from our sins in his own blood. He's made us kings and priests. That means that as we're relating, as we're being fathered by God, as he's pouring into us and teaching us what it means to be a child of God, that he's doing that because we're now representatives of the kingdom. kings and priests. Well, what's a king? A king is one who provides and protects for his people. And a priest is one who represents God to the people and the people to God. Did you know that, guys? That when we go throughout our day, you may be a maintenance guy, you may, you know, be a carpenter like I was before, you may be in law enforcement, fire, you may be a teacher, you may just be a student. That's your identity for your job, but your identity in Christ is to a king and a priest. You're part of the royal noble family, your nobility. That's what God's intentionally sharing with us. So let's pick up here in Ephesians 4, verse 32 through 5 and 2. So what does God want us to do? So what's our part? What am I to do as a child of God, as a representative of the kingdom? What does he want us to do? Let's take a look here. He says, be kind to one another. Wow, well, that's really hard. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So let's look back at that again. So be kind to one another. These aren't like huge, like terrible, difficult things to do, right? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Well, how do I do that if someone's thrashing me, if someone's tearing me apart? If I'm at work and this girl's just backstabbing me and she's bullying me or whatever, how do I do that? How do we do that as children of God? We do it by keeping the cross between us and them. So if someone's tearing you apart, if someone's being mean to you, how can I be kind-hearted? How can I be tender? By keeping the cross between us and them. What happened at the cross? The wrath of God was poured out for the sin of the world. Did you know that God bankrupted heaven? Jesus told a parable about a field that has a great treasure in it, the pearl of great price. And God's saying that he took his greatest prized possession. He took the treasure of heaven and bankrupted heaven to buy the field so he could get you. And so he went to the cross for our sins. If we've lied, taken something that doesn't belong to us, if we've coveted, if we've hated somebody, we've broken the law, we deserve the punishment of the law, which is death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And at the cross, the wrath of God was poured out. And now, instead of getting the wrath of God, we as the children of God, we get the love of God. No more wrath. No more punishment for us. We just get the love of God. So as someone else is being gnarly with us, tearing us down, bullying us, talking trash about us, all God's asking you to do is be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So keeping the cross, just the love passes through. You know, guys, God, he asks us to love people and let him judge them, right? But what do? We reverse the order. We're like, no, God, let me judge them and you love them. You're God. You're the God of love. I want to judge them. No. But he just says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And that way, you'll be an imitator of God as dear children. And you'll be walking in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. All right, so where's our lab experiment at? Where's our lab experiment? Who's got the pencil in the back? Somebody's got the pencil and we've got the bullet has made it around to everybody. What's that lab experiment all about? Well, this is what God is asking you to do. He's asking you to love people. He's asking you to walk as a dear child of God, to believe that. And you're like, well, Jay, I just don't feel led. You know, I've heard that before, but I just don't feel led to do that. I don't feel led to love that person. I don't feel led to be tenderhearted anymore. But guess what, guys? If you've touched that pencil and you've touched that bullet, you've felt led. So no more excuses. Those excuses are out of the way. And your future, we're still alive here. All right. So what's the point? You guys are the representatives of heaven. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back out. This is just a quick word tonight, guys. Just as Pastor Chet's going to be back next week, we're going to serve communion to you guys tonight. And, you know, in that last verse there, I'm going to have the communion team come up to the communion tables, and I'm going to have the worship team come back up. You know, guys, we're about to jump into a new series, Can You Relate? And Pastor Chet's going to go into more depth about these relationships, relationships that honor God. But the whole point of this word tonight, just a quick word about how God wants to father you. And even if you doubt it, Jesus said, all it takes is a mustard seed of faith and we'll say to this mountain, be removed, and it'll be cast into the sea. That's the smallest seed possible. If you need healing, if you've got, you know, sexual wounds, mental wounds, emotional wounds, physical wounds, mental wounds, communion is an amazing time to receive healing. And so communion, most of the time, communion is served, and it's like the sad, heavy yoke, like, okay, like, Jesus died, so everybody's, it's kind of sorrowful, right? But it's supposed to be a celebration. It's supposed to be a party. Jesus said, he held up the wine cup in John 13. He shared the Last Supper with his boys. He held up the wine cup and he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Do this often in remembrance of me. New covenant just means new settlement, new contract, new agreement. And the covenant, that agreement, that contract is between the Father and the Son. It's an unbreakable contract. Our job is just to believe in that contract. How hard is that? We looked at John 12:32, which lift is named after. Jesus said, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. And referring back in John 3, when he says to Nicodemus that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Referring to the serpent in the wilderness that was lifted up. And when the children of Israel were bitten by the snakes. How many of you guys have been bitten by snakes? I've been bitten by snakes. You know, condemned by the enemy, your flesh stabbing you in the back, your own mind tripping you up. But there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And how difficult is it to get in Christ Jesus? Simple. He made it. He removed every stumbling block. He removed every difficulty to get in Christ Jesus. The worship team's going to come back out, unless they're out there with Yahweh's tacos. I don't know. Yahweh's tacos out there again tonight. So the worship team, please come back out, guys. We're going to lead everybody in communion. We're going to do a self-serve communion tonight, guys. And which means that you'll come up, you'll grab a cup, you'll grab a cracker, and you'll see on these communion elements that the bread that's broken, Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. That it's bruised, that it's pierced with holes in it. And Jesus' body was bruised for our transgressions. He was pierced for our iniquities. He was chastised for our peace. If there's something going on in your life that you don't have peace about, that's what Jesus died for. So come, connect with him. We'll be up here. I'll be up here for prayer. If you've never prayed to receive Christ, it's this simple, guys. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody opens the door to their heart, I'll come in and sup with them. I'll stay with them. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And there's a door on your heart, but the handle's on the inside only. And that's that free will that you have. He can stand at the door and knock, and you can say, you keep knocking, but you can't come in. Or you open the door, you let him come in, and you become that adopted son and daughter of God that I've been talking about. Examples of being fathered by God, and he will start that initiation, that discipleship, where he starts shaping you, where he starts molding you, the potter does with the clay. If you feel like your vessel is marred, you're like, Jay, I'm just beyond the ability of anybody to fix. I know that. I've been there before. I'm still a dirt clod, but I'm a saved dirt clod, filled with God's Spirit, with a future and a destiny and a purpose, just like you guys. As the worship team's gonna lead us in these last few songs, you'll come up, you'll grab a cup with an and a cracker with an attitude of worship. You can go back to your seat. You can spread out in the sanctuary. This is that engaging in worship experience that we're setting for you here at Lyft. And here's your part. Here's your takeaway, guys. Here's all we want from you tonight to take away. Step into your relationship role as children of the King, so that you can begin to relate with God as your role in the royal family. Your nobility, guys. You're co-heirs to the kingdom of God. This honors God, guys, when we believe it. The children of Israel, they went into the wilderness fully believing God, excited, stoked about the Red Sea splitting, but on the backside of the desert, they died off in unbelief. And it wasn't that they didn't believe God was real, because they had seen all the miracles. They just doubted his love for them to take out the giants. So if you have giants in your life that you need taken out, come and pray. Come, grab communion elements. Worship Jesus, connect with Jesus. He's madly in love with you. Cast all your care on him. God bless you guys.